When I was a young child, my grandmother told me a story. She told me the story about a young lady who was crippled with a disease that would cause her joints to move awkwardly. She was so crippled that she was bound to a wheelchair and she couldn't even move her legs. Some people even thought that she might have a little bit of a mental handicap because of the way she responded to people. But this lady, my grandma said, had a great faith. She said she'd come to church every Sunday and she'd go up and she'd ask the preacher, "God told me he's going to heal me, so pray for me. Pray for me." I mean, this happened Sunday after Sunday. And when she didn't get healed, sometimes she would be discouraged. And so the pastor would have to encourage her and lift her up. On one such occasion, the young lady was discouraged. She went home, she prayed, and she said, "God, you told me you're going to heal me." And the Lord spoke to her and said, "I'm going to heal you on this day at noon." She came to church excited. She told everybody. She told my grandmother. She told the preacher. She told everybody, "God's going to heal me on this day at noon. He's going to heal me." And everybody was like, "Oh, okay." You know how good Christian folks are. They're like, "Oh, okay." God hadn't healed her yet, so the people were a little bit concerned. But when the day came, the church people had gathered in the house where she lived. On that, it was a Saturday, my grandmother said. And they gathered in the house that day. She wanted to be alone with God, so she wheeled herself down into her bedroom and she shut the door. All the church people gathered in the living room. They were waiting because God hadn't showed up before, so in their minds they're thinking maybe God isn't going to show up, so they're already going over words of consoling her and trying to figure out a way to make her feel better that maybe God didn't do the miracle she thought God was going to do. But right at 12, a presence filled the living room where they all sat. They said a white smoke traveled down the hallway, vanished at the door. They could hear her in there praising God like she's never praised God before. They could hear her as she leapt with joy and excitement in her heart. She began to give glory unto God. And the girl that wheeled herself down into the bedroom that day walked out of the bedroom whole and completely whole because she never lost confidence in her God. God does not want us to lose confidence in Him, but He wants us to rely upon Him. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us, He said. Confidence in God. Confidence. You know, it's very difficult to have confidence when you're surrounded by a bunch of people who doubt. Very hard. Very hard to have that kind of confidence. "I know you're going to be there with me, God." And then you got a doubter over here whispering in your ear, "Well, he might not," and you need to be ready for that. Amen? I think of Moses. I mean, think about what he had to endure with the doubters that came out of Egypt. It's much like a church. "We're trapped here at the Red Sea, Moses. What are we going to do here? Isn't there enough graves in Egypt that we just can't die in Egypt, Moses? Why'd you bring us out here?" They're the ones crying out to God, "Deliver us, deliver us, deliver us." But now they're blaming Moses for bringing them out. Can you figure that? Doubters. Here they are pinned in by the mountains. Pharaoh's army's behind them. And here they are at the Red Sea. And what does Moses have to say to them? They're complaining. They're doubting. And Moses, with confidence in God, responds, "Stand still and see the salvation of our God." I feel like I need to raise the staff in the house of the Lord this morning. I feel like I need to proclaim in some of your lives that you need to quit doubting God's ability and stand still and see that He's able this morning, that He'll bring you through. Yeah. Elisha was trapped by an army. He was surrounded by the army. But Elisha didn't seem to fret about it. He's still smiling. His servant is over there going, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" He says to Elisha, "Elisha, the armies are here. They've come to get us. They figured you out. They know who you are. They've come to get you, Elisha." And Elisha says, "Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he can see." I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things you don't see. You might not see God's provision. You might not see that there's a great heavenly angel host surrounding your home at night, protecting you from the burglars and from the robbers and from the thieves. You may not see that God's got someone blocking your path in that accident that you should have been dead in. You might not see that you should have been dead, but God intervened on that hospital table and said, "No, they're not going to die. They're gonna." Maybe you don't see it, but thus saith the Lord, he was there. The Bible declares that when God opened the eyes of that servant, he found out why Elisha was smiling. He had a confidence in God, and he said, "Oh my goodness, there are more that are for us than they that are against us." Oh, church, when we're going to realize that God's got more for us than he does, than the enemy's got against us. Every promise in the book, it's mine. Every chapter, every verse, every rhyme. And I'm standing on his promises divine. But every doubter loves to mess up the thought. And they say, "Well, he's slack concerning his promises." But Peter said, No. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He said, but God will perform what he said he will perform. He will make a way for you. He will bring you out. I want you to realize that Peter had confidence in God. He didn't shake in it, waver in it. He came to the gate beautiful. The man, he literally tells the man, "Hey, look at me." Maybe he was ashamed. Maybe he felt bad. Maybe he felt like a beggar and he didn't want to be recognized as a beggar. But Peter didn't care about that. Peter said, "Look at me. Put your eyes on me." And when the man picked his head up and saw Peter, the Bible said he was expecting to receive a little bit of money because that's what everybody gave him. But Peter told him, "I don't have money. I'm broke." He wasn't the TBN evangelist, you know. He was broke. Nobody was sowing their seeds of faith to Peter at this time. So Peter doesn't have no money. He said, "I ain't got no money. Silver and gold have I none." But listen to the confidence he says. "But what I got, such as I have." What kind of confidence is that? Listen, I ain't got no money, but I've got something. Something. I got it. It's I can't tell you. It's somewhere in this area. It's right here. And I'm gonna give it to you. It's not money. It's none of those things. Matter of fact, I'm not going to give you a fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish. Yeah. I'm going to show you how to provide for yourself. I'm going to give you something that I got. What kind of confidence is that? I mean, he believed so much, he knew he had it. He knew he had it. When's the last time you came to church, you knew you had it? I got it. Well, I got it. That old evangelist, when he got saved, he went home, he said, "I got it. I got it. Praise God, I got it." They said, "What'd you get?" He said, "I got salvation." They couldn't figure out what it was, what he got. Well, when his wife got saved, she came home and said, "I got it too. I got it." There's something about when you know that you got it. Peter said, "I don't got money. I don't got any of that stuff. But what I have, I want to give to you. I've got something inside me to give to you." That's a real confidence in God. "I know what I got in the Lord." And so he literally grabs him by the hand, because in his confidence in God, he knows a miracle is about to take place. He grabs him by the hand and lifts him up, and immediately his ankle bones gain strength. Immediately. Why? Because he was confident God is able. Not only did he know God would use him, that he had it, but he also knew God would do it. He knew God would do it. The people of the New Testament, Paul, James, John, they were very confident in their Father. Confidence had been built up over time as seeing God do miracle after miracle after miracle. I'm sure the people were surprised when Peter walked on the water. I'm sure that they said in their minds, what is this that a man could walk on something so unstable? Matter of fact, I know that their confidence was built when Jesus stood up in the boat and said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and the storm calmed down. And they said, what manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey him? That's building confidence. They began to believe that God was able. They began to know that he was able. And because of this belief and because of this knowledge, they operated with a different mentality that many people operate in. They didn't allow the circumstances of life to shut them down. They still believed God was able. So much so that Paul wrote, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able. I'm persuaded. Church, when's the last time you went on your knees when you were broke and need to pay a bill? And you said, God, I'm broke, but I'm persuaded that you are able to provide for me. When's the last time you were spiritually struggling and you came down to the altar of prayer and you said, Father, I know and I'm persuaded that you're able to bring me through. When's the last time somebody in your family sick, you fell on your knees before God and said, they're not going to die, but I'm persuaded that you are able, God. Confidence. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Proverbs 14:26 records these words. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I want you to know something. I love it. I love it when I feel it. Man, I am Pentecostal. So I'm a little bit emotional. Forgive me. Forgive me. I get excited. I'm just that way. I love it when I feel his presence. Man, it makes me walk on cloud nine. You can't bring me down when I know God is there. Oh, no. No devil in hell can come against me when I know the Lord is there. Well, without any doubt, any fear, without anything the world can give me, but I know God is right there. Every devil in hell could come with their onslaught at that moment, and I'll trample over them because I know who's with me at that moment. I love it when I feel it. Oh, it's good. And we all walk in confidence when we feel it, don't we? Especially Pentecostal people. The Baptist folks, they feel it too. They just don't tell you. Like, we don't talk about feelings, you know. But they feel it. They feel it. Amen. They feel it. There's a power we walk in when we know he's there. When we know he's there, our prayer meetings, they're not dry. They're not dead. They're alive. They're fiery. When we know he's there, we sing different. We don't just go, yeah, I'll fly away someday. We sing with the level of confidence and power and zeal and excitement when the feeling is there. I love it when I feel it. I love it. I love that. And man, we could just trample on any old devil we wanted to the moment we feel it. That devil comes, you stomp him in the ground. Because you know the Lord is with you. Great confidence do we have to those that fear the Lord. You know that word fear, it's not a phobia, it's a respect. It's a reverence. God gives us this power to walk in confidence with him when we respect and reverence him. It's when we get out of the realm of respect and reverence of God that we lose the confidence that we should have. But have you ever met a family member you knew that if you went to them, they'd bring you to God? You knew that if you brought your need to them, they'd take it to the Almighty and it'd be solved? Yeah. Well, that's what my grandmother was for me. She was a pillar of confidence. If I was faltering, I'd go to grandma. I'd say, Grandma, hey, I'm faltering. What's going on? I can't believe this. Did you hear what happened? She'd go, that don't matter. The Lord's in control, baby. It's going to be just fine. And she'd pat me and say, it's all right. Let's pray together. And she'd reach heaven with the Holy Ghost. She'd just start speaking in tongues. All of a sudden, we're having a Holy Ghost time in the living room where I'm weeping and crying. I leave that place going, whoop, the Lord's good. Now, I went in there with shaky confidence. I went in there thinking, I don't have it. I don't know what's going on. I was in disarray because of the circumstances. But she was a pillar of confidence that I could run to. And she knew how to get me to God. The Lord is that for every human being. When we walk with Him, we've got nothing to fear. You know, you got people in your life that you could go to them. You know who they are. You in your mind, you're even thinking about them. You went to them, and they brought you back to confidence in God. What was it that they had? They had a respect, a reverence for the Almighty that took them beyond circumstances. It took them beyond what was going on, and you knew that they'd bring you to God. You knew it. When we are confident in God, we become a safe place for others to run to. Are you a safe place unbelievers can run to? Are you a safe place that the world says, if I go to them, they'll lead me to God? Are you that safe place? Because the confident Christian can operate in such a way that the world will come to them and ask them when they're falling apart. Listen, I've had a lot of sinners come to me that when I wasn't even a pastor, and they'd come to me and say, man, I'm falling apart. What do I need to do? Well, let me tell you how to answer the question. You must be born again. Yeah. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You must be born again. And I would lead them to Jesus. You know why? Because He's the answer. And they would always tell me, Bruce, I didn't come to talk to you about religion. I've got a problem. I go, that's your problem. You don't got your religion right. Get your religion right, and the problem be okay. It took a while for some of them, but some of them got saved. So I won a few of them. And they would always come to me because they knew I'd take them back to the Lord. You know who I learned that from? Grandma. That's who I learned it from. I learned that I could be a safe place for others to run to. When we are confident, we become that. When we are confident, we know God hears our prayers. You know what most people, they pray and they're like, well, He might answer. Maybe. Good chance. Some people start singing the song, I thank God for unanswered prayers, when they don't hear something from heaven. But they've only prayed one time. You want to know why many prayers are not answered? Because you really don't mean it. And I don't mean that to be mean. What I'm saying is that you haven't prayed consistently enough or showing God that you truly want it. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. When did you think seeking was asking once? Let me tell you how my children seek. They go, usually they come to me first, because I'm the pushover. And they come to me, and they give me, when my girls bat them pretty little brown eyes at me, I melt like butter in a microwave. I just... Daddy, I want some ice cream. Can we go down to the yogurt store? And I go, okay. Even knowing I'm broke. Knowing I shouldn't get my ice cream, it's going to make my day a wreck all day long with the sugar that they're going to be consuming. So if they can't, but if I, every now and then I have a little bit of fortitude, not always, but I do sometimes, and I say no, they don't give up. They never give up. They don't just ask me once. They never ask me once. And they don't go to mom afterwards because they already know her answer. They keep coming at me. They say, daddy, please. We'll be good, daddy. We'll be good. They play the good card. I promise we won't be hyper. I promise. Please, daddy, please. And even while we're driving by the yogurt store, right there in front of the Home Depot parking lot, we're driving by, they're begging, oh, daddy, look at the yogurt store. I mean, they are pushing it. And all my heartstrings are like, oh, I want to give them yogurt so bad. They keep seeking, they keep prodding, they keep asking. Even after we pass the yogurt store, they don't stop. After I've told them no at least a dozen times, they don't stop. You know when they finally stop? When I finally have, when a little bit of frustration comes out and I go, that's it, shut it up. Quit asking me for stuff, I can't, no. It's when that comes out that I finally get them to go, fine. But they keep pushing. Jesus said, seek until you find, knock till the door be open, ask and you shall receive. What do we call our prayer meetings today? What do we call it? Oh Lord, please give me something. Well, I guess not. But the confident Christian doesn't ask once. He keeps asking. He keeps asking. He keeps asking. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. He keeps prodding. He keeps pushing. He keeps pushing. And we know that God hears us. We don't doubt it. Listen, when I get on my knees before God, I don't doubt, God, did you hear me today? I never do that. Ever. I know He hears me. I can't tell you how many times He's answered prayers. I mean, He answers prayers. This last week, I had to preach at our convention, at the pastor's convention, and I was worried because I'm the young pup. I'm young. Even to you, I'm young, some of you. But I'm really young to them folks. So I was a little nervous, and I went to prayer, and I asked God. I said, Lord, I don't want to get up and just say just to impress. I want to say what you want me to say. Help me, Lord, to be free of pride. Help me, Lord, to be free of impressing people. Help me to be free of these things. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, God, give me the right word to say. Give me the right thing to say. And I prayed, and I felt like God spoke to me, but I didn't necessarily have the unction of the Holy Ghost that said, thus saith the Lord, you're going to say this, amen. You know, like everyone's looking for. But I had the idea, and I went with it. And God spoke to my heart and told me, you're going to end with Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, and you're going to read that scripture, and you're going to focus your attention on arise and go. And I said, okay. And that's how I was supposed to end. Well, you know what? The man preached before me. Guess what he preached on? Guess what his title was? Rise and go. When he announced his title, my wife noticed my excitement. She goes, what's wrong with you? I go, you know what I was thinking in my mind? Oh, that was you, Heavenly Father. Oh, that was you, Heavenly Father. I was very happy about that. And then the next day, guess what? Another guy preached on it too. Preached on going into the promised land and arise and go. I thought, man, Lord, obviously you had something to say. And I wasn't the only one praying that prayer. But it rose up my level of confidence to know that that was the voice of the Lord. Listen, maybe you don't know the voice of the Lord yet, but oftentimes He comes in a still small voice in your conscience. He doesn't come to you with bolts of lightnings. He don't come to you with big thunders upon mountains. He don't come with you with the splitting of rocks and the crazy charades that you see today. He's not going to come beating on your head with some big old ball peen hammer saying, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? No, He just speaks softly to your heart. And He speaks to your conscience and He says, and it's up to you to hear and listen. It's up to you to hear and obey. You'll learn His voice the more you pray. Look at what Ephesians 3:12 says. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him. But in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. I want you to know that when I pray, I do not come to the Lord with doubts and like, oh, I hope He hears me today. I come with a fervent heart and boldness. The Bible says now I can come unto His throne room with boldness because He has given me grace to come in such manner. I come in boldness. I come because I have access through what Jesus Christ has done for me. And so I come with that enthusiasm. I come knowing He's going to hear me. I come knowing He's going to answer me. I come knowing that someday I'm going to meet Him face to face and understand everything. I come with a boldness that He's my Father. and maybe he might stop and give me some yogurt. Amen? We need to have confidence that he hears us. Now listen, this is where the Lord wants me to focus my attention. I want you to turn to 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. It'll be up here on the board if you don't have your Bibles, but I hope you bring your Bibles to church. What good's a soldier if he ain't got his weapon? 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You ever heard people tell you they love you and then abandon you? Well, John's against that. Don't love in word or in tongue, but love in deed and truth. Verse 19 says, "And hereby we know that we have that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Listen, God wants your heart to be sure before him. Sure. Now listen. Listen to what John says. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." God wanted me to focus my attention on that part because what do you do when you make mistakes? When it comes to confidence. What do you do when you fall apart? What do you do when you've made some serious spiritual errors in your life and in your heart? What do you do when you should have been faithful and you weren't? What do you do when you're supposed to be the person of faith in the family? What do you do when you're supposed to be the person of faith on the job? What are you supposed to do when you are shaken to your core? What do you do when your heart tells you you can't have confidence in God? What do you do? Well, you have to believe that God is greater than your heart. That's what you have to do. You see, I believe that one of the greatest attacks of the enemy is he brings up our past. He'll bring up your faults, your failures, your shortcomings, and he'll say, "Look, you're a horrible Christian. How can you believe God's going to do anything for you? Why would he do anything for you? You've made horrible mistakes. You've failed miserably. How can you stand up with confidence and praise God? How can you pray and think God's going to hear your prayers? How can you come down here and think the Lord's going to bless you? What are you going to do?" And the devil will throw that junk in your face for the rest of your life as long as you will keep eating it and swallowing it and chewing on it. He'll put that in you and say, "Look, you can't come to God. You got no confidence. I want you to know that God is greater than your heart." Greater than your heart. You don't have to listen to his foolishness. Does God love you? Yes. Is his mercies new every morning? Yes. And yes. And I say amen. Yes. They are new every morning. I have failed. I've made mistakes. You have failed. You've made mistakes. But glory to God. We don't have to have confidence in our heart. We don't have confidence in that. We've got confidence in God. It's not how I feel. It's who I know. Glory to God. Amen? It's not how I feel, it's who I know. Amen? It's who you know. If you know the Lord, it's not about what your heart tells you. Maybe your heart might say, "You are no good." And it might be true, but the Lord's good. Amen? God, let me tell you something. God didn't pick you because you were the best. He didn't pick you because you were the most talented. He didn't pick you because you were God's gift to any type of ministry that he saw. He didn't look at you and go, "Now that is a great singer. I can use them." No. Paul said, "In me dwelleth no good thing." But who overcame in Paul the no good thing? That's why Paul said, "I know whom I have believed in. I am persuaded that he is able." I'm persuaded. You see, church, your heart may condemn you, and your heart may come against you, but God's greater than that. He's got more power to redeem you. He's got more grace to bring you out. He's got more strength to make you whole. The question is, Are you going to stop believing what the devil's saying and start believing what God's saying? Amen. I don't want to listen to the voice of the enemy who whispers in my ear the constant bombardment of, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. And I realize that in my flesh there is no good thing, but I want you to know that when the Lord redeems you, the Bible says that He is able to save to the uttermost. When He saved you, He didn't mess up. He didn't miss a little spot. He didn't miss a little holiness in your life and He gave it to somebody else. No, He saved you to the uttermost. Completely changed, saved you. He didn't fail. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't choose you and go, oh, well, I made a mistake. I chose Him. No, He chose you and he predestined you unto the salvation. He wanted you. He wanted you. And He desired you. And then He bought you. And He said, you're my child. And then He put a robe on you. And then He put a ring on your finger. And then He put shoes on your feet. And He said, come walk where you're not supposed to. Come walk where you have no authority. I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you power to tread upon serpents. I'm going to give you authority to walk with me. I'm going to give you the strength to be my disciple, my servant. I'm going to send you out. You're going to be my preacher, my disciple. And you're going to tell them and you're going to speak for me. And I'm going to go away to prepare a place for you. But I'm going to go away. And when I go away, you're going to be my mouthpiece. My hands, they're going to be your hands. My feet, they're going to be your feet. My heartbeat's going to be your heartbeat. They're going to know me by your love one for another. They're going to know me because you are my disciple. They will recognize me and they'll see me in you. He didn't make a mistake. He knew what He was doing. He purposed it in His heart. Are you going to have confidence in that? The enemy's playing games with some of you. He's tormenting your mind. He's attacking your heart. And he's trying to tell you that God will never honor anything you say. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. And you hear the words of the Lord right now. You hear the words of the Lord. The Lord is greater than your heart. He's greater. Doesn't matter how horrible you've been. He's still greater than your failures, your past, your mistakes. He's greater. He's greater. And this morning, if you are battling the enemy with such an onslaught, the enemy's coming against you, and your confidence level has been diminishing, and your faith has been diminishing, and your heart has been heavy, and maybe you feel like your prayers haven't been heard or answered, the Lord, this altar call is for you. I said, this altar call is for you.